welcome to the California comeback. What you are feeling tonight is what it's like to hit a walk-off home run. Kind of like San Diego in 84. Because the networks have called it. We're going on to the general election to face off against Adam Schiff.
Republican former professional baseball player Steve Garvey at his victory speech last night. As he mentioned, he will face Burbank Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff in the general election in November for California's Senate seat. Schiff's victory speech was seemingly cut short due to protesters chanting "Ceasefire now."
But I also want to acknowledge again my great gratitude to all of my wonderful supporters. I want to acknowledge the right of our protesters, and I look forward to working with you all and onward to victory in November.
Democratic Congresswoman Katie Porter of Irvine and Barbara Lee of Oakland came in third and fourth, respectively. There were also primaries to fill Adam Schiff's and Katie Porter's House seats, and we're going to talk about that, plus the hotly contested DA race here in L.A. County with Jim Newton, professor of public policy and communications at UCLA and editor of their journal Blueprint. Hello.
Hi.
Well, we talked about this, that Schiff and a super PAC spent millions of dollars on ads that made Garvey out as a MAGA guy, a Trump supporter, and thereby elevating him, getting Republicans excited to support him, a deliberate strategy by Schiff to make sure he faced a Republican in November. So obviously that worked. And anyway, do you think that this can backfire for Schiff?
In this case, though, I think he's executed it quite exactly the way he wanted, which is he got the opponent he wanted, and he's very well set to face him in November. You got to assume that the vast majority of the Porter and Lee votes will come Schiff's way. The general election is likely to be a more liberal electorate, a bigger turnout. So that helps him. I think he's very well positioned for the fall.
Right. Porter's camp angry about that tactic, although they employed it too, trying to elevate another Republican to split the vote. But is there any danger that Porter's supporters will be angry with Schiff and not vote for him?
Yes, it definitely brews some feelings. It's a rough business, you know. But it's inconceivable to me that Porter supporters would gravitate to Garvey, no matter how mad they are. There might be a little bit of drop off, but I also would expect there to be bigger turnout and more Democratic turnout in the fall. So I don't think there's much risk to Schiff to employing the tactic that he did. And in fact, it produced precisely the result that he had hoped it would.
So Steve Garvey didn't really campaign. He spent zero on ads. There's not a lot known about where he stands on the issues. He has not said whether or not he supports Trump. But what do you think will happen? Do you think he'll actually embrace Trump and vice versa, and Trump will do some campaigning for him?
I doubt it, but I don't know. Trump is such poison in the California electorate that it's hard for me to imagine how Garvey would benefit by being more associated with Trump. If anything, he might have been more inclined to do so now because it could have helped rally Republicans to him in the primary. As it is in the general, his outreach needs to be to independents and to Democrats, and associating with Trump or having Trump support is not going to help him with that. I mean, there just aren't enough Republicans in California to win. That's why there are no Republicans in statewide office. So, you know, whatever one thinks, whether one thinks that's a good thing or a bad thing is kind of irrelevant. It's the landscape.
Right. OK, so going down ballot a little bit, and let's look at Adam Schiff's congressional seat. He's held it for 20 years, and there were a lot of people vying to fill it now. Right now, it looks like State Assemblywoman Laura Friedman is ahead. In second place is a Republican, a doctor named Alex Balekian. There are other candidates with some name recognition, like former city attorney Mike Feuer, State Senator Anthony Portantino, and some others. What do you expect to happen? Of course, everything can change with so many mail-in ballots, but do you think that Friedman will face the Republican?
I would think it's a Democratic district. It's a little less Democratic than it used to be post-redistricting. If it's a Democrat versus Republican race, again, I would give the edge to a Democrat.
So she had a good night last night, Laura Friedman.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, Katie Porter's seat, also up for grabs. A Republican, former Assemblyman Scott Baugh, whom Katie Porter narrowly defeated when she won. leads two Democratic hopefuls right now, State Senator Dave Minn and Joanna Weiss. So what do you think is going to happen there?
Yeah, there, I think that's one where Republicans really do have a real possibility of picking that seat up. And that's because, you know, she's really held that by force of her personality over the last couple cycles. It does not skew heavily Democratic, a very evenly divided district. The advertising against Minn in particular, I think, has been effective. I think, you know, listen, I very much up for grabs. And I think that's one where Republicans really could pick up a seat.
Okay. Let's talk about the DA race. You and I talked about it recently. And that pits incumbent George Gascon against 11 other candidates. Gascon leads at the moment. In second place is Nathan Hochman, a former federal prosecutor. Gascon is not popular, as we discussed. Are you surprised he came in first?
Not really. I mean, I think he's an incumbent, obviously, and he has a base. I mean, the much more difficult step for him is the next one. And now that he, instead of facing 11 opponents and only needing 20% or so to come out on top, he needs to get to 51, and that's going to be a harder road for him. I think of all the candidates against him, Hochman is the one he'd most like to face because Hochman ran as a Republican for attorney general just 2 years ago. And so he's running as an independent this time, but it's fairly easy to frame this race as a Democrat versus Republican race. And if that's the case, that gives Gascon a lot of room to run with. That said, I would say he's a very vulnerable opponent, and this one could go either way from my perspective.
And what does this say about the progressive prosecutor movement in your eyes? Because we're gonna talk about San Francisco in a moment, but they recalled their progressive prosecutor, Chesa Boudin, and Gascon, too, was facing a recall that he survived. But do you think that it's on the ropes, this idea?
That's a really good question. I don't think the data so far or the results last night answer that question. I think it's possible that what we've seen in his very low approval ratings is that Gascon is not admired for the way he's tried to execute the strategy. He's done it by fiat. He's created a lot of bad feelings in the office by delivering orders instead of consulting with line prosecutors. He's alienated some of his supporters. He does not have a good relationship with Mayor Bass. So it's possible that this is more about him than it is about prosecution strategy or the progressive prosecutor movement or idea. But I don't think we know yet. I think Hochman will put that to the test because he will argue for a very different vision of that office. It is still, though, a very liberal electorate. And I'm not convinced that the electorate has turned against those policies so much as that it has doubts about Gascon. But I think that's what we're going to discover between now and November.
OK, let's turn to Proposition 1, which the governor really pushed. And this would change California's mental health laws and allocate billions of dollars for more substance abuse treatment beds. And it is barely surviving right now, slightly ahead.
Close.
That could change. Why so close, do you think?
Yeah, well, it's a tough time, I think, to go to asking people for money. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty, I think, in the electorate overall. And, you know, it did fade as election day approached. That's pretty common for ballot measures to lose support in the last couple of weeks. But Newsom did a lot to get this thing through. He supported it. It's really the center of his anti-homeless strategy. He cleared the ballot to let voters not be confused by other measures. So he's got a lot riding on this, and so does the state. Boy, the last numbers I saw had it really neck and neck, so it seems like it very much go either way.
Right. What about turnout? What was it? Any early numbers? It was expected to be quite low.
Yeah, very low. And I think that certainly hurt the initiative. You know, generally, the rule of thumb is the higher the turnout, the better liberal causes do and liberal candidates, just because a lot of the marginal turnout tends to be liberal or Democratic voters. I think if this had been on the fall ballot, it probably would have done better. And because it's so close, probably would have won. And that affects all these races. But yeah, it's hard to drive turnout in a race where the top of the ticket here was the two primaries are Biden and Trump, and both were unopposed. And so there's just not a lot at the top of the ticket bringing people to the polls. That will not be the case in November. There certainly will be a lot of incentive for people to vote in November.
Jim Newton, professor of public policy and communications at UCLA and editor of their journal Blueprint. Jim, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.